This is KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Bell.
That was Steve's newscast from last Thursday evening. It turned out to be his last. Yesterday afternoon, as he was preparing to deliver the news to Kansas City one more time, Steve collapsed and passed away. He was a presence in the newsroom that will be felt for some time. I'm Matthew Law Middleton in for Gina Kaufman, and today on Central Standard, we're starting our show with some remembrances of Steve Bell. One of my fondest memories of Steve would actually be bumping into him in the men's room in the afternoons, because at that time he'd be wearing his wireless clunky headset, and he'd mutter to you what was happening in the city council right then and there. It was like my own preview of the news the rest of us would hear just hours later, after it was polished and refined. And it kind of typified what I knew of him, a genuine and honest guy, a bit of a goofball, but the person who set the bar for work ethic and dedication in the newsroom. He loved his work. But more importantly, I think he loved it so much because of how deeply he loved the people of this city. I only knew him the past 3.5 years, but Dan Verbeck, KCUR's retired reporter, knew Steve since 1974, and he's joining us by phone this morning. Dan, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and can you tell
me? Thank you for asking me to join you.
Yeah, I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'd love to hear from you when you first met Steve, and if you have that memory in clear vividness.
I do, kind of, because this was at the old location of KMBZ Radio, which had just a couple of years before been transed over from KMBC Radio, because it was connected to the outfit that owned KMBC and now Channel 9 Television. So we were in a studio over in suburban Westwood, and somebody said to me, "Don't ask Steve how his day is going, because he'll tell you, and then he'll tell you, and he'll tell you, and he'll tell you." And I realized then that I keep making him present. I think I'll make him present tense, because he's still present tense to me. Mm-hmm. Steve is a champion talker. Steve could tell you a whole lot in a fairly short amount of time, and if you had the forbearance, he'd tell you a whole lot in a lot of time. Steve loved to let you know what was going on in his head, and there was always plenty going on in there.
Mm-hmm. And what was Steve like in those days? What was it like to have him as his supervisor? Because he was your supervisor at the time, wasn't he?
Actually, no, he wasn't. He was the program director. Steve had done so many things in radio over such a period of time. He was primarily on the commercial side of it, the management side. He only became a newsman in about the last 10 or so years. He was in charge of the madcap disc jockeys, who were always off doing some kind of zany thing. Like one of the guys was being sent to, the station would actually send them to do a series of remote broadcasts from somewhere in Scotland, where this fellow named Mike Murphy was going to try to find the Loch Ness monster, and. It was all very bizarre. There was a sharp division in those days between news and programming, and the program director took care of the people who were doing the nutty stuff, and the news director took care of what was going on in news. And there was quite a fine sharp division there. No disc jockey was allowed into the newsroom. Unless they had some serious business to take part in there.
Were you allowed to hang out with Steve then, if he was on the other side of things?
Well, then, you know, you'd see Steve in the hall, and somebody'd say, "Don't ask him how his day is going, unless you've got a bunch of time." So we kind of learned. But yeah, it was the days of the polyester leisure suit and the kind of plastic coiffed hair. Steve always decked out well. He's a handsome guy. Always has been a handsome guy, and he was wheeling and dealing, and I've never seen the program Mad Men, but I think Steve could wheel and deal with the best of them.
Mm. Were there things you learned from him at your time at KMBZ there?
You know, one of the things I learned that was that it is possible if you're enough. Steve is a brilliant guy. I mean, he's truly, I think at the genius level of a lot of different and the intellectual side. It's possible to keep two, three, six balls in the air at the same time. If you're working on something involving what's going on in a radio station. And he was able to do it and do it pretty well. And I'll give you one example. It was 1981. At KMBZ is in Westwood, and KCMO radio is down the street to the west on Shawnee Mission Parkway by a mile or two. And I'm working at KCMO radio then, which was in competition with KMBZ. That particular afternoon, an inmate serving life from Lansing Penitentiary escaped and came down into the Country Club Plaza, took an account executive hostage at knife point. She told him that she worked for a radio station, and if he had some complaints to make, and he had plenty of complaints, which was why he wanted to accost her, was that she could come to the radio station and have a perfect forum. So at any rate, this fellow took the manager and this account executive and me hostage over KCMO radio. Well, the woman I was dating and later married is working down at KMBZ down the street. Well, word gets back to KMBZ that some people are being held hostage down at KCMO. Steve, as I understand it, goes to my wife who worked for him. She was his assistant. And as the story goes, as I get it, and Steve has got a lot of, let's see, he's got a number of balls in the air at this point. Steve supposedly says, Sylvia, Dan is being held hostage by an escapee from the Kansas Penitentiary and died at KCMO. My wife today supposedly said back to him, wow, Steve, what a story he's got out of this one. And is he okay? In that order. And Steve later said he knew that we were destined to be together forever because she understood the business. at the same time that day, Steve has one of his news anchors goes berserk on the air and locks herself in the news announce booth. No one has the presence of mind to kill the microphones, and so she is on the air, going on and on about and sobbing about her friend Dan is being held hostage down the street by some raving maniac who has escaped the penitentiary, and Steve manages to get them to cut the microphones so that they can somehow lure her out of the studio, and she's had this nervous breakdown, and he's trying to get her into a psychiatric institution to take care of her, and he did it all, the way Steve does, with a fair amount of calm and reason, and we'll do this one step at a time.
Right.
Steve is pretty good. Yeah, one step at a time, one after the other, and he was fun to be around. I miss him immensely. And the last time I saw him was 1 month ago when he'd come to St. Luke's Hospital to visit me because I'd had a heart attack and had, they say, died. And they brought me back. Steve and his sister Betty Ann came to visit me, and we spent a fair amount of time. And I can still recall some of the conversation. And he and I were very close. We worked our booths, our work areas at KCUR there backed up to each other, and so I was looking at the back of his head if I stood up, and we had us some good times with the news.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, his varied interests and intellect. He left the radio biz to practice psychology for a little while. Did you guys stay in touch through that time?
You know, we didn't. I would hear about him from time to time when I covered a lot of trials, and there was a particularly hideous homicide case in Johnson County where a woman had hired her stepson to kill her 14-year-old son, and it turned out that Steve had been her psychologist, and of course, you know, with HIPAA and all these days, you know, you can't talk about anything publicly about your patients, but he and I could, because I knew all the ins and outs of what appeared in court as regarding this homicidal woman who is still.
Because you were covering it.
Because I was covering it, and years later we could talk about it because he knew her psychology, and I knew the practical side of what she had done on this day, I think back in the late 1970s. So, you know, we had some common ground there.
Mm-hmm. Great. I want to loop in Patty Cahill into the conversation. She was the previous general manager of KCUR. Patty, when did you first meet Steve?
I met Steve when he was working at KCPT. Doing some voiceovers. That was years before he started at KCUR.
Mm-hmm. And had you spent time listening to Steve on other stations or at KCPT? Like, what did you know of him before that, and how did it measure up?
I knew him before then, and always loved his deep, resonant voice. I can't even pretend to talk like that. I remember when he was interviewed for the job as in news reporter at KCUR, someone said, look, he's got all this radio experience. He's got a PhD in psychology. He may be overqualified. And I remember saying, no, no, no. You're either qualified or you're not qualified. And he certainly was qualified for the position and performed it extremely well.
Mm. I think that's kind of interesting. You mentioned like overqualification. Did you get a sense of like what he loved about doing news? And Patty, I'd love to hear from you. And Dan, I'm wondering like if, you know, he talked to you about that. But Patty, let's start with you.
Well, one of the things that Dan and Steve and I would do would a couple of times a week, we would have meetings of a little club out back where Dan would have a pipe, I'd have a cigarette, and Steve would talk. And we would listen to Steve. One of the things he liked to talk about was Winfield. And so I mentioned to him that I had done a Folk Festival USA for NPR and had some tapes of Winfield. And I was really pleased he wanted to hear them and used one of my tapes in a piece he did. And Steve and I got an award from the Kansas City Press Club in 2012 for the piece he did on Winfield.
That still circulates today. It's actually, you know, the recording of it was done, I think, in some sort of primitive conditions out there. But it I think it rained in the hailstorm or something at one point, and you're inside a metal building maybe. But it's remarkably great. I mean, it's real good radio.
Yeah, and Dan, you were laughing there about those meetings. Were there other times when Steve would tell you like what would drive him about the news?
Oh, you know, you could just sense there was a he had a hunger to know everything that was going on, especially at City Hall. City Hall was his long suit. He knew the ins and the outs as well as any reporter who actually physically spent time down at City Hall. He knew everybody. He wanted to know. He thought that the public had the right to know what was going on and why it was going on and what was going to happen next. So he was on top of City Hall and city government news. And I don't think anybody ever got a better look at what went on in the downtown City Hall and the adjunct offices than they got from Steve Bell as he covered the council and the council meetings leading up to it and all the intrigue that was there. Nobody served this town better for that kind of information.
One of the things I
yeah, sorry, go on, Patty.
Steve,
go.
Oh, well, sorry. One of the things I loved about Steve was his passion for public radio and public broadcasting. He'd worked for so many commercial operations and was so pleased it seemed like he had an excitement for working in public radio, and I really appreciated that. He was a special friend.
I'm curious to know, did you notice him change over time? I mean, I thought it was so interesting that you were saying, he had a gift for gab, Dan, even when you knew him, 30 plus years ago, 40 plus years ago. But were there things about him that changed over time?
Well, he got older, and Steve is 5 years older than I am, and he was looking forward to hoping to be able to retire, and as damn luck would have it, as he is setting up to try, after all this time, to retire from the business, he's struck down. It's just unfair.
Mm-hmm. Patty, what was one of your fondest memories of Steve? Patty, can you hear me? Well, it doesn't look like we can hear Patty right now. But Dan, I'm curious what one of your fondest memories of Steve was.
There are so many. In the recording studio where he did a lot of the news his news work, he had a couple of guitars tucked away in there. Nobody really used that booth except Steve, because in his brilliance he had found all of these intricate different ways to make things work, to prepare a newscast or to prepare a long-form story. And nobody else could figure out that studio. You'd walk into it and think, well, all the other studios work like this, but this one has some really strange stuff in it. But Steve would, if he had like coffee break time, he'd go into the studio, and if you listen carefully, you could make out some strains of some guitar being played. And he was so pleased that at one point he'd been able to take some guitar classes from Chet Atkins. One of the younger members asked me, "Who's Chet Atkins?" I said, "Chet Atkins was the premier stylist with Nashville and the country sound as it was then in the 70s and 80s, maybe into the 90s. He had a signature sound, and he had hit records of his own. Steve loved a guy, an Australian fellow named Tommy Emmanuel, who was a real virtuoso of the acoustic guitar. I mean, truly, it sounds like he's playing it and he's got four hands. Steve loved to play. He was pretty good. I think he always wanted to be better. But to be a real guitar star, you've got to do it often and every day. And Steve worked for a living. So he didn't get to be of the ability that he wanted to be, but he loved guitar music, and he played a little banjo too.
Mm. Yeah. I actually remember, you know, talking with him about going to the folk festival that you folks were mentioning earlier. And, you know, that was like the highlight of his year. And just before we head out, Patty, I'm curious, what will you miss most about hearing Steve on the air? Patty?
Knowing that he's there and he cares and his voice. I miss his voice. Yeah. I miss him as a person.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us, and thank you too, Patty. Thank you both.
Good to be with you. Steve will always be part of KCUR, and if you listen really carefully, you can hear his voice.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. That was retired KCUR reporter Dan Verbeck and KCUR's former general manager, Patty Cahill, sharing their memories of KCUR's Steve Bell, who died yesterday at the age of 77. We'll be remembering Steve on the air again in the coming days. Please feel free to share your stories with us via email. You can do so at centralstandard@kcur.org. Steve, we miss you. Take care.